Welcome back to Idol Talk. In this episode, we discuss the songs we just can't get enough of, whether they're new releases or just new to us, from some of our faves in the K-pop industry. This episode will cover Still Life by Big Bang, Drive and Teddy Bear by NCT Dream, and Dice by ONU. Stay tuned because we got you covered with the K-pops.
Hi everyone, welcome back to Idol Talk, where we explore South Korean pop culture one obsession at a time. My name is Nathan and I'm your host.
Hey everyone, I'm Ashley, the editor for Idol Talk, and I recently finished the drama 39, and it is amazingly good.
Like, you finished?
Yeah. Yeah, once I started good. It took me maybe like 6 days to finish the whole thing. There's 12, wow. 15, yeah. 16 episodes. It's so good.
Wow, it's not like a short one either.
Yeah, and their episodes are like an hour and a half long. It's addicting. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's so good.
She started me on it on Saturday, and I legit, the whole plane ride, I was watching it, and then all of Sunday I spent watching it. I'm on episode 5 now.
Nice.
And that's just one day.
Yeah, I haven't cried that hard since Descendants of the Sun.
Oh, shit. Okay, I'll mentally prepare myself.
Yeah.
Mentally okay. Prepare yourself. Hey everyone, I'm Chris, co-host, and I am so excited, because my GD Opa is back in my life, although not to the extent I want, but we'll talk about it later.
All right.
Hey everyone, this 56-year-old smoker voice is Casey. You'll have to excuse me because I did 2 concerts, 2 states, and a bachelorette in 1 weekend. Highly do not recommend, but we'll talk about it in another episode.
It's okay. We can hear you and we can understand you. So we're glad that you're here with us. Okay. Thank you all to everyone for tuning into this episode. Don't forget to also follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Idol Talk Pod, and rate, review, and subscribe to us on all our major podcast directories and streaming platforms, including Spotify, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and Apple Podcasts. If you have any feedback, please email us at idoltalkpod@gmail.com. We also have our content directory, idoltalkpod.uu.ai, and that's where you can see all of our previous episodes categorized and information about us as well. And you can find that on our description of our episode here. So we're actually going to change things up a little bit, only because there's just been so many releases in March and April that we still need to catch up on. So we are going to do a back-to-back episode of K-Bops, and our following episode is going to be a concert review. As Casey alluded to, the Idol Talk Pod hosts went to the Epic High concerts and the BTS concerts in Las Vegas, and we'll do a full wrap up of that when they close out next weekend. So we are going to change things up a little bit. And by change up, we're just going to go through some of the things that we've been listening to within these past couple of weeks. So Chris, do you want to go ahead and kick us off?
Yes. So, that was a weird yes.
a little selective yes over there, Chris.
I know.
I guess setting that's how the tone for her section.
It's because I'm going to talk about GD Opa, guys. So as I alluded to earlier, my rec, and I've been listening to nonstop because I'm just trying to solve the mystery of what the heck is going on. My rec for this episode is Still Life by Big Bang. First of all, we got a comeback. We got a comeback. So I am so happy that they are back.
I'm going to get a little later, my thoughts overall into what's going to happen as far as the future. Mm-hmm. Some of the listeners, thank you so much. Y'all were looking out for me because instantly a bunch of people were reaching out like, hey, are you okay? Like, this Big Bang comeback, how are you doing? And I'm like, I have a lot of things to say. So
so this is the first one since Flower Road?
Since Made, the Made albums. Yeah, I believe Flower Road is on Made, yeah.
Yeah, I think it was like the closing out of that one.
Mm-hmm, before they all went to the military.
Mm. Wow.
Okay, so here's my notes. Let me go through my notes first. I'm going to be Casey and ask you to not interrupt me until I get all my thoughts out, okay?
Okay, you have the stage.
First bullet point. This is their first single as a quartet. They are obviously Sungri is in the military and he left the band. So this is their first single as a quartet.
Okay, wait. Never mind. Sorry for interrupting.
Second, if you guys saw the music video, it actually, Ashley pointed this out in our group chat, each member had their own scene in the music video, and it kind of seemed like they were filming this on their own, but I kind of took it as, like, because the song is kind of a reflection, they're reflecting back on their youth. Mm-hmm. And as a matter of fact, as I was looking into Genius Music, they were saying that it prompts to reflect on the path you've taken. Like, so they want the audience to reflect back on the life you've lived, and that's why there's allusion to the seasons. You hear spring, summer, and they kind of say how I've gone through my spring or I've gone through my summer over and over again. I'm back at my spring. They're alluding to their lives.
I was going to ask you about if there was season, like what the seasons kind of meant, because that's the title of the song in Korean. It's literally just the four seasons.
So Genius says that it prompts us, the listeners, to reflect back on the path that we've taken. However, the way that the music video is set up, I feel like it's more so they are reflecting back on the path they've taken. Because, okay, each scene, so I'm going to, Taeyong is the first scene. He had, like, you know, that field of flowers. He had the Bible verse in the back, and he had the little lamb. I think he's alluding to spring, and the lamb could be his new child. He's a new dad. Maybe. That is my take on it. And the Bible verse in the background is because he's widely known. He does not shy away. He tells, we all know that he's Christian. Oh, and cool. He actually has a cross tattoo, I think on his back. I just blanked on where it is, but it is no secret that he is Christian and that he is faithful. So I think that's why it's more so his reflection again on who he is. And then we enter GD's stage, and GD has kind of like this veil. There's like a red tint to his stage, right? And I think this alludes to his last album before he enlisted to the military. And it was also his most personal album. That's why he named it Kwon Ji-young. It's his EP, my bad. Not album, EP. And so that was the most personal to him. And so even there's this scene where you can see you kind of have the view from the back and you see a stage and you can kind of see an audience. So I think he's also alluding to his last tour, which is, Act 3 Mott or Moment of Truth, The End. So again, GD reflecting on his career as an idol, right? Day Song is in a room with empty chairs, ? One thing that I found interesting was that they chose to do four chairs and not five chairs. Mm-hmm. Especially considering that this is a song where they're very reflective of their lives and their career. So I thought that was interesting. Does GD have
a separate chair? He has like that director's chair with his name on it.
Yes.
So I assumed,
and it says Kwon Ji-young. So I assume that to be like, because he also had a huge part in directing his tour. Mm-hmm. So I just took it as part of him putting his last tour all together before he joined the military.
But not adding it to the count of the four chairs to make five.
No. So for a day song scene, he had like, there's a scene in the music video where it just focuses on four wooden chairs.
Yeah. So
it's, right. It's like four empty wooden chairs.
So we're not adding GD's director's chair to not the count of the chair to make five chairs.
No. Okay. No. No,
damn, I don't know why I'm trying to defend Sungri, but. Okay, sorry, go ahead.
Well, that was my interesting, like, take, and even then, I follow this Big Bang account in, I think she's from Argentina. She's OT5, man, and she's a fiery OT5er. Like, do not mess with her. She instantly, as soon as the comeback came out, she was like, I am OT5. Do not ask me to do anything less. If you're an OT5er, it is your responsibility to stand up for OT. She's a fiery OT5er.
That's just the toxic side of K-pop. Don't mind us.
I respect her passion, okay?
Our Big Bang OT5, I feel like I've read something where they're like, Sungri will always be our brother, you know? Like,
well, I think the
his actions.
There was also something, I don't know what they released, but you know the lines in the Made albums? So they released it with five lines, referring to Sungri as the fifth member, I assume so. Because that's why I was also confused. Not confused, like, I thought it was interesting that in the music video, they did four chairs, but in everything else, they do five. So, I mean, you can think of it as this is their first single as a quartet. Maybe they just wanted to keep the focus on that they're a quartet, but they still know that they're originally five members.
Oui.
I don't know. We'd have to ask them ourselves.
The theory.
Well, we could talk about this probably all day, but I mean, it's a moot point ultimately because he's in the military and he can't release anything during his period, right? So.
Yeah.
It would if they wanted to release something, it would have been four.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, so Daesung, he was more in like a bluish room. I couldn't really get his vibe. Also, I'm really bad. I'm so hyper focused on GD and Taeyong that I do not have any background behind Daesung. So sorry. TOP scene, he's on the moon. I don't know what the fuck is going on with that scary rabbit mask. I just consider it TOP being TOP and a troll. I don't know. Sorry, my dogs are fighting right now. They're excited with
me. Isn't there like a myth about a rabbit on the moon in like Asian countries?
Oh, I don't know. I have not heard of that.
What's the background on that?
I don't know like the specific myth story, but I know there is a myth where there's like a rabbit on the moon or something. That's what I thought it was like referencing, but it was a scary mask, and I don't think the myth is a scary story, so yeah. Still don't know what
it was. But the scary part could just be TOP being TOP.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
He's known to be a little throw you into kind of whatever.
Yeah, exactly. So, but the moment he took the mask off and glared into the camera with his big, beautiful eyes and perfect skin.
TOP, more like H.O.T.
Goodbye. Goodbye.
Wait, I just know that's died an actual K-pop moment. Group.
Okay. Yeah, it is.
Sorry,
it
my
is.
Bad.
So I tried to, like, trying to come up with some kind of correlation, like the science teacher I am. I was thinking, okay, they keep talking about seasons in this song. So maybe their stages also have to do with different seasons besides like themselves. So I was like, maybe Taeyong spring because he has the field of flowers. GD, maybe summer because of that red tint. Mm-hmm. TOP winter ? Daesung fall ? I'm not sure how I can make the connection with those last two. But I feel really confident about Taeyong being spring. Another thing also, apparently, according to genius.com, the music is also arranged to complement the seasons.
Mm.
Like, there's lyrical harmonies, and there's something in the latter half of the song that is meant to complement that, like, cycling of seasons. So, which brings me to my last point, and this can be a discussion for us all. Is this a new beginning, or is it a closing of a chapter?
Well, let's start with what you think as our resident VIP.
Okay, first of all, I thought we were going to get a whole album.
Yeah.
We only got one song. So I am very afraid and heartbroken to say this, but I have a feeling this is the closing of a chapter. This felt like a goodbye song.
It did.
And nowhere did they mention anything of it being a goodbye song. I mean, they didn't even promote it to begin with. They just like released it. Here's a music video. Okay, take it as it is. I'm done. Mm-hmm. T.O.P. posted on his Instagram like a letter saying, I will always do my best. Like, I love you. Thank you so much. And then that's it. That's all we got. So I don't know. I'm scared. I'm scared that it is going to be a goodbye song. And I'm sad. I wasted my years.
Well, I think for me, it sounded more of like a closure song also. That they are like fully going to, you know, just do other things. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And but for me, it's not that much of a change in what Big Bang has already kind of been doing like the last 5 years or so. Like they do release like every now and then and they'll have like solo activities and they'll kind of just be doing like what they want. And mm-hmm. I kind of just like that for them.
Yeah.
I don't know. Ashley, Casey, any thoughts on what this might mean?
As long as they don't, like, officially disband, then you'll always, like, keep
the group. Be a part of the group.
Alive. Yeah, and they can always do activities and stuff, right? Like, are they all still with YG?
No. And actually, my passionate Big Bang account that I follow, I guess. So T.O.P. left. He did not renew his contract. And now there's rumors that GD might not renew his contract.
No!
And that would be so huge. If GD does not renew with YG, like YG is GD.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like they're one and the same. They're synonymous.
Well, I
like,
wonder if it's the sense of like, if I'm GD, like, do I need like an agency? I just, mm-hmm. I feel like I don't need an agency at that point. It's kind of like the reason why, well, this is just a speculation because I don't know that much about him, but it's kind of like a similar reason why like Psy went to go start his own company. He's like, well, like I'm kind of bigger than YG, right? So it's like, yeah. Of course he's gonna like branch out and like get more artists that are under him. I can't mm-hmm. see like GD like racking up artists, but I could see him kind of just being like independently run as an individual because yeah. he already stands like at the top as an individual.
Yeah, especially in like the K-pop.
Yeah, like industry. He already like does his own thing. Like he's just always present and there, mm-hmm. right? Even though he's not like active, but his presence is always like very strong.
Well, the reason why I say that too is because right after the release, I guess he went to go visit Treasure. And so there's this picture of him with Treasure in their practice room and they're like, oh, it was so nice to see Jiyoung, Sunbaenim. And I was like, you know, that's something like you do for your company.
Oh, then that's, I feel you like know? That's a sign that he's not going to leave.
I don't know. I don't know. But for sure, T.O.P. is gone. He did not renew. But he also said that he's still going to promote with Big Bang.
Yeah.
It sounded like a very good breakup, though. It wasn't like a GOT7 type of break.
Yeah.
Where
yeah.
they were like, F y'all.
Yeah.
I mean, that's basically what happened, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That like, is. It sounded, and I don't want to make this similarity, and I'm not trying to start a fan war, right? And we're trying to keep it on Big Bang, but, it, like, the same thing, I feel like, happened to Lay with EXO. Like, very clean break, always going to be part of EXO, trying to be part of the group, and, like, still one of them, even though he's not going to really be active with them in the reality of things. Right. But like a very clean, clear cut, like, I'm just kind of doing my own thing now.
Yeah.
Right.
Which is like, that's not, I feel like that's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's sad about this conclusion is that, like, pre-pandemic, we were going to get a Coachella show, you know, we were supposed to get an album, and it feels like that all just, like, vanished, and now they're gone.
Yeah, the hype was real, you guys. I was holding out for so long, and this is all I got.
I know, I was really looking forward to their Coachella show.
Yeah.
Well, in consolation, the song is number one on the charts in every single music chart right now because, I mean, ultimately, like, Big Bang is a household name in, like, K-pop in Korea, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, I was, like, joking about this with, like, Casey at some point, like, maybe, like, a week ago. Like, I don't know that much about Big Bang, but, like, being an Asian American, like, in Los Angeles, like... That was what got me to know this group. Like, because that is something that we talked about as youth.
Yeah, because Taeyang is the Asian Chris Brown.
Yeah. Well, that's what we had talked about.
Let's talk about that. Like, at your wedding, Ash, when wedding dress came on, Nathan and I gripped each other and screamed in each other's faces and then ran to the dance floor.
Because literally, like...
I didn't even know he 14, knew that song.
Yeah, 13 to 14-year-old Nathan, as an Asian American growing up in, you know, in and around Los Angeles, 626, that is just what we streamed because it was cool. And,
yeah.
that's all, like, it's funny how, like, random K-pop songs in that era would, like, crop up in, like, just general Asian American culture because Filipinos have fucking... Wonder Girls, Nobody
Wonder Girls.
Yeah. Yep.
How is that a Filipino anthem?
I know. I performed that song at my debut.
Yeah, it's just one of those like iconic like things that surpass culture. Obviously now with K-pop being a little more mainstream and accessible, that kind of situation doesn't happen anymore. But yeah, Big Bang is one of those groups that like you don't have to participate in K-pop stan culture to know and recognize their music.
Right. And to know that they're like a household name that, yes. you know, has been, you know, laying down the foundation, right, for decades, mm-hmm. right? I don't know. Mm-hmm. I'm really happy for them in terms of the success of this. And I know that the VIPs are really passionate about this. And I'm happy they got their song.
They're called VIPs. I thought it was VIP.
I thought it was VIP. Wow. Oh, VIP. I fail as a VIP.
I think it's VIP.
Sorry. I don't know. Maybe that was just my abbreviation.
No, it's cute. I like it.
Last thought is that, and I told this to a listener who DM'd us on the day of the comeback, I'm really sad that I wasted away 2016. Like, what the fuck was I doing? I could have been standing SHINee. I could have gone to their concert.
Oh, and yeah. That's the last time they had come around for tours.
And I could have gone to Big Bang. I'm so mad. What was I doing with my life?
Chris, we literally talked about it this weekend that I regret, like, where the fuck was I in 2017? I should have been with Nathan at the SHINee concert.
Yeah.
Best show of my life, I will say. But let's 2016 was, like, a really glorious year, right? We talked about all those, like, really good releases, and part of, like, that was the Made album, where Big Bang was, like, coming back every single quarter, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. So they were, like, very present. All the second-gen veterans were there, and I was like, oh, this is, like, a really awesome world. I'm in it for the long haul.
So, yeah.
That's
wonderful. I'm glad it's doing good.
Damn, Chris. I can't even imagine how you feel because when I heard the song, I was like more, I was listening it out as like a non-VIP, like with no emotional attachment to Big Bang. And so when I was listening to it, I was just like, damn, if I was passionate, I think I would be crying.
Yeah.
Okay,
here's the stupid thing, too, is that I came into it thinking, oh, I'm, like, ready for a bop.
Yeah.
So I was like, wait.
Oh my gosh. That's another point I forgot to bring up, is that I was ready for not a bang, 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 but like something similar to it. I was ready to like go all out, but no, we just got a sad song.
Yeah, I thought it was gonna be like the signal of the renaissance of K-pop. You know what I mean? But instead, it was just making me sad.
Yeah.
All
right. That's okay. Well, we'll just have to keep our eyes open for new activity.
Eyes, nose,
and
lips.
There you go, Casey.
See, another right. one. You don't have to stand Big Bang.
Exactly. That was a core part of just Asian American culture, like yes. here. And it was just, you know, you knew it. And you're like, oh, Taeyong doesn't have a yes. shirt on. And he's just singing a ballad. And the camera is just zooming in whenever it wants.
This is exactly why VIPs are sad. Like, how, like, it's tough to stand such an iconic group. And then feel yeah. like they're saying goodbye. Like,
right.
That's fucking emo. Chris, mm-hmm. we are your strength. We will listen to you anytime.
Thank you.
I will also say, like, one. I watched, like, one of the OG, like, reactors to this song. And he was just, like, bawling his eyes out. Right. So like these people, I mean, they've built like such a, I think something that really sustains K-pop groups is like, it doesn't even matter if you release stuff, right? It doesn't like at that point, like it doesn't really matter. Right. It's like laying like that emotional connection, which we know is like a feature of K-pop that distinguishes itself from other forms of music, mm-hmm. right? Is that people feel like they're connected to their artists and that they know them, even though they haven't released something for 4 years, mm-hmm. right? So I was like, damn, like, I'm with you. Because I feel this way also, you know, in other way, another dimensions, right? So to the VIPs out there, we see you and we feel you. We feel your pain. And we'll we hope drinking, all the best for the group, too.
We are we'll your strength.
Drinking T.O.P.'s wine.
Okay. Well, transitioning from veterans and K-pop staples, I guess I will go ahead and introduce our next recommendation, which is off of NCT Dream's second full-length album. And my recommendation, personally, is going to be a B-side off of this album, and it's called Drive. And I guess before we begin, I'm just going to share a little bit of... Wait, what?
I was clowning you because you have like a notepad.
Yes, it's my notes. I write my notes here. Okay.
Wow, the dedication. Okay.
We're talking about Dream.
Like, you're right. You're right.
Thank you, Ashley. So I'll talk a little bit about the album itself, and then I'll talk a little bit about the song.
Wait, what was the song?
Drive.
Oh, okay, Drive. Sorry.
Yes. So I'll talk a little bit about the album. It's their second full length after their widely successful first full length album, Hot Sauce. So I would say that a lot of pressure was on their shoulders with this release. Hot Sauce, you know, had won Album of the Year at one of the end of the year shows, right? So they're like, you know, we want to do this again. And if they do, like, they would have to kind of really, really kind of pull their act together and give us something good. And I think overall they really did. In terms of pre-sales, they pre-sailed over 2 million albums, which is incredible. And also, they sold a whole bunch of albums during the first week of sales, and it after the seventh day, it was sold about 2,100,000 albums, right? So clearly, like, a really popular album, and it's now the fifth highest sold album in the first week, according to the Hanteo charts. Only, this is kind of crazy, right? As we talk about, like, Dream's kind of trajectory and how they got here, mm-hmm. like, when I started, like, seeing them in Chewing Gum stage, I would never imagine. And yes, I probably did underestimate them a little bit, but who didn't when they saw Chewing Gum? Like, the only albums that have sold more in the first week are, first of all, one artist, which is BTS. Butter, Map of the Soul Persona, Map of the Soul 7, and B. Like, those are the only albums that have sold more during the first week than NCT's Glitch Mode.
Nice.
Which, when I saw that, like, that has, like, just kind of blown my mind, quite frankly.
So let's not consider BTS, because obviously, like, that's very skewed.
Outlier
data. So that's wild that it's NCT Dream's hot song.
It's like Dream, you know?
Yeah.
And that's incredible. And I think the seven folks that make up Dream have just been working really hard. And I'm really glad that they, you know, have gotten this result, like, six years later, right? And in terms of the digitals, Glitch Mode as a title track, and we can talk about, like, what we kind of thought about that. The digitals on Melon for that track did better than Hot Sauce. Even in, I would argue, a very, very competitive digital market from the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Right, so then, like, we haven't talked about some of the releases, but, like, Tomboy has been just, like, killing it on the charts a lot. And then we had the Big Bang comeback, and then we had Feel My Rhythm, which is still up there. But overall, if we're comparing it to their previous work, Glitch Mode as a title track did better overall than Hot Sauce did as a single.
Oh, wow.
From my perspective, I think that in terms of the title track, I think boy groups are pressured to do something that's very flashy, that's memorable. I liked it, but there were just other songs that I liked better on the album.
Yeah.
But I like it as a performance, and I really like to watch them on the stage performing that song.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if anyone else has any thoughts on that song before we move into the actual wreck and Ashley's wreck.
I like it. I like Jeno's new haircut. he has like a faux hawk happening. The sides of his head are shaved, and there's like a little design.
Yes.
Oh, you like the faux hawk.
I like the mullets. Like, I just,
yeah.
I like them all. I like Mark's blue hair. Mm-hmm. And
yeah, I do.
And
I
Chen Lei's red highlights. The hair is really good. Jisung's white hair, like,
so good. Yeah, you like it?
Yeah, I like it.
Oh yeah, me too.
Yeah, visually, conceptually, wow, chef's kiss. Love it, everything about it. Song itself, we're not there for me, speaking for myself.
I like it.
Did it grow on you, or did you like it right away?
I liked it right away, but you know me. I listen to it while I'm working out. So when I'm working out, I'm in the zone. I'm ready for bops. Right. So it hit right where it was supposed to hit.
Yeah.
I think for me, like, I think it actually followed in a lot of the same style as Hot Sauce, right? We got a little bit of very excited Dream members doing their, you know, chanting mixed with some rap, mixed with vocals, put together in a interesting song, right? That really intrigues people. And then I think for me, like, what stands out about them is that when you dig into the rest of the album, you're like, oh, this is what sets them apart, is that all the boy groups are basically doing similar variations of a glitch mode, I would say, right? Like, they're trying to get the attention of the listener. But I think what really makes them stand out is, like, everything else that they can do with the album, which is why I chose Drive. And it's definitely not, like, a ballad song, but it's definitely a slower, more lyrical piece. The song, according to Genius Lyrics, is about reminiscing, you know, about your younger days with your friends, right? And it's supposed to comfort people that are feeling down and, you know, perhaps a little bit off, you know, for the day. And I don't think that I was having, like, a bad day when I was listening to the song for the first time, but I felt so good after I listened to that song. Aww. And for me, it was like an automatic, like, repeat song over and over again. And I saw it also performed on every single time NCT Dream has a comeback. I'm always looking forward to their content because they release already so much. But when they do have a comeback, they release, like, a lot of content.
A lot.
A lot. Like, again, these boys are working hard.
They're content kings.
Yes.
Yeah. Our favorite series is back, Dream versus Dream.
Dream versus Dream is back. Chilling in the Dream is back. Like... they're doing like
any group out there doing content like them. NCT as a whole either.
Yeah.
They do so much and I just feel like they're just having a lot of fun doing it.
Yeah.
And H-On Radio is back, right? So they're just like doing so much. And I think that's one of the reasons why, like, yes, K-pop is about the music and like what I was saying, but like I think NCT Dream is here because, like, a lot of the fans, like, are very interested in continuing to support their careers as, like, them seeing them grow up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. Like, you can't possibly go from, like, chewing gum to, like, now selling, like, 4 million albums, like, only second behind BTS in album sales. Like, how the heck does that happen? Right? Like, that's incredible for me to think about. Anyways, I'm super excited about this album. They were also super successful on the music shows this week. Boy groups have had a dry spell on music shows.
Yeah.
Let's just say that, right? So Inkigayo and Show Music Core are the harder shows to win during the week. Because it counts digitals and albums, like, not equally, but actually they'll preference, like, digitals a little bit higher. So usually the girl groups, like, kill it. So there's actually no boy groups that have won on either of these two shows this year, and we're in April, which is, like, crazy, right? So they were the first boy group to finally win on that show, and to win both of those shows since November of 2021. So the girl groups have been kicking some butt.
They have.
Right? I think NCT Dream has done really well. And I think a repackage is coming. But before the repackage comes, Ashley, I think your rec is from the same album.
Yes. So my recommendation is their R&B pop ballad, Teddy Bear. Into your dreams. 잘 자 오늘도. So first, obviously I was drawn to this song because of the title, like, my child's name is Teddy, and so I'm, like, weak for any, like, teddy bear content. And this song is a mixture of, like, K-R&B and like some, where was I going with that? Yeah, it's a K-R&B song, and it's, the lyrics express, how a teddy, like, how should I say this? In the song, they're talking about how the member will protect the person, like a teddy bear would in your bed. Like, I'll protect you like a teddy bear in your bed. But if you read the lyrics, it sounds a little bit more sexual than that. Like, yeah. So for example,
the lyrics.
This is the English translation for the first verse. So it's a late night, you know, you can't sleep. Come and lay next to me, hide under a cozy blanket, oh girl. Everything about your very own day, tell me about it, I want to know. It's not really sexual, it's more like cuddling, but like, what do you,
yeah.
But it's like, if you're laying in bed with someone, cuddling, talking, like, what else, what, one thing's gonna lead to another, and then...
Y'all yeah. hoes, because I... I don't understand.
I don't know.
I've not married yet, so I don't know.
Well, Nathan brings up a good point, actually. In Korea,
yeah,
cuddling itself.
They're a little bit more touchy with each other, especially with these folks that are singing the song. You know, they're really touchy friends. Haechan likes to, you know...
Don't bring my son into this with your little conspiracy theories.
I don't know if they're conspiracy.
I don't want to hear it, Nathan. I want to hear it this episode. Let's all right. keep going.
A this song.
Keep my they're son's being name out very... your mouth, or we're gonna go Will Smith.
Someone got real protective all of a sudden. Okay, Ashley, continue on.
Yeah, that's pretty much all I have to say. Their album is. It has a lot of different styles of songs, which what Nathan said earlier is one of their best traits. They could do pretty much anything. Some other songs that I like on the album are like More Than Gold, I think
yes,
is what it's called.
Better Than Gold.
Better Than Gold. It's kind of like a disco pop ballad.
It's so much fun.
Yeah, it's so much fun. And on Haechan Radio, the song that most of the members said is their favorite song is More Than Anything, which also is a very good song. I recommend that. But yeah, I have some thoughts about this comeback in general, not necessarily like the album, but like the direction that SM is going with NCT. I just don't understand why they keep adding Mark back to Dream.
Because that's what the people want.
Why are we back on this topic? What don't you understand?
I mean, I get that. I get that he, I know it is what the people want because they're the best-selling group at SM outside of like aespa, but like, I just want them to like continue. I think what I miss is like the whole concept behind Dream prior to them being like a rotational group, and I was really looking forward to like the future of Dream.
Wait. 2019, we were walking in the street, and you and Gabe holding a sign that said "Make Dream a fixed unit." What happened to that energy?
I know, but I was like really excited too to have new members in Dream, and I'm still a little bit confused as to like what NCT is doing with Shitaro and Sungchan, and they keep just like coming back with albums for 127, Wavy and Dream, and it's like they're just stringing them along. So I'm really looking forward to like what's supposed to happen next, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, we don't know.
We don't know. And but, the theories are all out the window now because...
Well, you've been on this you've been on this horse for a couple years, as Casey mentions. I think that End Citizens have left the original theorization and formation of, yes, the original conception of Dream, which was supposed to be a rotational unit, but they left it long time ago.
They did. They left it in 2020.
They left it long time ago. So I think that the point of Dream now is to continue to see the growth of them as Seven. And with Shotaro and Sungchan, I don't know what they're doing, but so Sungchan just finished off his MCing, right? So he's done. So maybe he's gonna do something else. He has to do something else now because the media is not gonna see him every week.
Exactly. And like
Shotaro has a new dance single out.
That's right.
I remember seeing that.
Well, he wasn't on the performance track. Like, he wasn't on the track singing, but he was dancing to it.
Yeah.
And it was kind of part of like the NCT Lab series.
Yeah.
I don't understand what NCT is doing, and I just want them to like move forward, you know, with their plans.
They debuted these boys like
2020.
Like 2 years ago at this point. They're homeless.
Damn.
They are homeless. I mean, granted, 10 was homeless for like
a
longer time, but yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll see what happens next in the world of NCT, but congrats NCT Dream.
I'm still trying to stay on the NCT topic real quick. I saw this TikTok that they're going on a world tour.
I did see something about that too. Yeah, but like nothing has materialized yet.
Okay, so it's just in Twitter.
It's like in TikTok speculation mode right now.
Yeah.
And the TikTok day that conspiracy. NCT Dream like ever drops like tour dates, I think like I'm gonna like die.
Okay, that was it.
Yeah, so I think we'll keep our eyes, nose, and lips. Also,
staying on theme.
You know, make sure that we keep out for that. But yes, anyways, for sure. Casey, did you want to close us out?
Yes. So. Apparently it's a trend now for me to be discussing new releases on the pod coincidentally the same day that they release.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Amazing, the timing of all of this. But it's fantastic for me because I am wrecking Dice by ONU. Rolling dice, 너에게 내 던진 all my heart. 이기고 지는 건 잊어가, 또 빠져가. 끝까지라도, 끝까지라도. So, like I said, it just came out today, April 11th. 2022. It's the title track of his second mini album, also called Dice. So I kind of want to go through like the music video because y'all know I watch music videos first. I don't listen to the songs blind just in case so I can like it right away. The visuals, you know, like take the edge off. So I'm going to go through like the music video first. Then I'm going to discuss the song itself and then end my section talking about the press conference that ONU had regarding his new album release. So, music video for Dice. The music video, it starts with ONU. He's outside of like this like skyscraper building. He's got this cute ginger hair under like a hat.
And I love the hair color.
Huh?
I love his hair color.
Me too. I'm going to use it as like my example for my hairstylist after my wedding to be like, give me this hair. I love so much on him. They also gave him freckles and they put him in these like oversized, baggy, like colorful clothes. And they have him eating a slice of cake, like just in his hand. He's not got a fork or a plate. It's just like in his fucking fist. And then in his other hand, he's holding a die. And this visual is like so childish, right? Like he looks like a little boy. As he's like smearing this cake all over his fucking face, he notices a woman in yellow looking out at him from inside of like one of the skyscraper buildings. And like he's instantly in love with her. But then she gets pulled away from the window by this like this guy in a red hooded coat and mask. And when that scene came up, I was like, okay, Squid Games, because it really looked like a bootleg version of Squid Games, like the guy's mask and the suit. So then Onu drops his cake slice. He's so shocked and he like runs into the building to look for her. He can't find her and like instead finds like a dummy wearing her clothes in the pool. So he rolls his dice and instantly he like has like a magical girl transformation into like a Prince Charming type. And he's also physically transported to this dining room that's just like every open space is filled with flowers, like yellow flowers. And in between the tables are like these people wearing the same mask as that guy who pulled the woman away from the window. And they're just like eating lemons and drinking water. Like they're like slicing lemons with knives and a fork like it's a steak. And they're like staring at him. But he's in this like blue kind of like princely suit and his hair is like styled now and slicked back. And it like kind of, he goes from like a childish boy to like a young, handsome, gallant man. So maybe it's like showing how you fall in love with a girl and then trying to be there for her. You grow up a little bit, you mature a little bit because you're in love. He's like, there's like more lemon stuff going on. Can't find her, so he rolls the dice once more. And suddenly he's a bellhop in a hotel.
Yeah, the hotel concierge concept.
Yeah, hotel concept. Who knew that bellhop was going to be the hot, like, concept of the year? But here we are. Onu. It's giving, like, 2000s sitcom, like, antics where you disguise yourself to spy on people or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
And so he's, like, wandering the halls, like, pushing, like a bag cart looking for the girl. And he's like passing by room after room filled with like different weird people wearing the same mask. And they're all each doing like unique weird shit. And then eventually he's like chased down the hall by like more masked people holding chainsaws. Chainsaws appeared more than once, which is the weirdest
thing. Yes.
He rolls the dice again. And now he's in a party with more masked people. And they're all drinking this like weird neon shit. And then it's a dance break also. And he's wearing this like black and white outfit. Very cute. And he's got these like piercings on the side of his like nose bridge between his eyes. And Nathan texted me about it and was just like, I'm in love. And I was like, I'm in love too. And so I want to do it too, but I don't know if it'll look as good as it looks on
him. Oh yeah, I can't do it. I was just saying I liked it on him.
I know.
No,
I like
just,
it on
just put the rhinestones on your face.
No, like yeah, all it's the absolutely just rhinestones. I'm just going to try it. We'll see. Anyway, so we cut to the woman. She's battling the masked people with her shoe. And then next scene, she's gone. Onu finds her broken shoe. And he's like, oh no, like she's dead. I'm too late. Fuck. But then the elevator doors open and like a dead masked guy flops out. And it reveals like a pile of like the dead guys. And she's victorious against them. She had like beat them all by herself. And she didn't need Onu to be a Prince Charming and come save her. And then they run out together, like, happily. And I really like that message because even though I would personally love to be helpless damsel in distress for Onu to save me,
I love the message that he's giving to his female fans, that they're individuals and independent and don't need no man, but also would love to have a man to pick them up after killing all the bad guys. Like, not a bad deal.
I'm so glad you explained the music video, because I watched it a couple times and I did not understand what the story was.
I didn't either.
Like, maybe it just wasn't clicking for me what the dice was like the dice and like the different things. It makes sense now.
Yeah. I'll go over like the his interpretation of the song from the press conference, and then we can like talk about like the analysis with his perspective on it. I was honestly scared about this release as we were anticipating, because the visual like releases that they were doing, like the teasers and everything and the promotion they were doing for the song, didn't match, I guess, my perception of Onyu. Because for me, like with his release of his first album,
very melancholy.
It was melancholy, it was ballads. You think of Onyu, you think of OSTs. So I was kind of just like, what direction are we going? This doesn't seem like the promo that you would give to someone who would do a melancholy ballad, you know? But then it came out. I loved it so much.
So vibrant.
It's so vibrant. And I declare this a spring bop.
Oh, yes.
I love that the song doesn't go in any weird directions. It is just consistently good, refreshing, and upbeat. I love the synth, you know, music that I loved when Red Velvet had those tracks on their recent album.
You know what, Casey? I was just going to say, it sounds like you got to curate a spring bop playlist for us.
Really,
because like, after Feel My Rhythm, you've been feeling some type of way about spring.
I know. You know what I'm realizing? I think that I'm happy now. Like, just in general, I'm in a really good place in my life and I'm really happy. So I'm gravitating towards the happier, refreshing songs. And it brings me back to when we were talking about music tastes before, how Ashley usually tends to go for bops. And she was saying one time, like, she likes to feel happy. So she listens to music that is happy or like upbeat. And I always wanted to be sad because I was always sad. So I love to listen to music that made me sad. And now I'm all about music that makes me feel vibrant, whimsical, and fun.
And I love that energy.
Dice is it.
I love that.
Yes. Dice is it.
And my original rec that I was going to do before we switched the day to today with it coinciding with the release was going to be a Weinstein song from the 2521 OST. And it was also whimsical, light, about like hope and love. So I think I'm really just gravitating to shit like that right now.
Wow.
I know.
This is a new chapter for me.
It's because you're planning your wedding.
Ew. No. Don't talk about that. okay, so let's get into the press conference. It was very short, hosted by Minho. So
okay.
I really love that it was done that way, because you could tell that Onyu was a little nervous going into it. Because if you think about it, he released Voice in 2018, like towards the end of 2018. It was so long ago, and he's been in the military. Yeah, he did do a comeback with All of Shiny prior to Taemin enlisting, but that was within the safety of the group, and now he's putting himself out there. And also, this is not his typical sound, so I can understand a little bit of that trepidation. So he said that the mini album is just six songs, and it's the focus of the different songs was he wanted to have refreshing charms, romantic vibes, and even songs that can be a bit lonely. However, the lyrics contain a lot of hopeful and good things. He also said that he knew the moment he heard the demo that Dice would be the title track. And for him, the meaning of the song is like falling in love, comparing it to a board game where you throw your dice and you're ready to risk everything you've got to win. Oh. You're risking everything you've got for love. Oh. Yeah, and like the him, like every time he rolls the dice, he's like a different person in a different like part of the hotel or the building, you know, trying to get to her. And that's kind of how you move in a game, right? You roll your dice and then how you roll decides how successful you're going to be in your like attack or your move or whatever, or where you end mm-hmm. up on the map, right? Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like that, and you have to like not be afraid to move or make a move. And then his choreo incorporates the movement of throwing the dice. And he did address the whole like part about how people expect ballads from him. He said that he intentionally curated the sounds of the mini album to be more rhythmical and have danceable songs because he wanted to challenge himself as an artist to show another side of himself, because he wanted to break that image that he has of someone who only sings ballads or only does OSTs. Yeah. And he wanted to show that he can try new things, even though he's like older in his career. Like it's never too late to try new things. It's never too late to reinvent yourself or to show another side of yourselves and exhibit diversity in the things that he's doing. And his message to people listening to this album is to find happiness and prettiness in the little things and to hold on to hope.
That's cute.
Onu is such a light in people's lives.
I love him.
Yeah.
Why is he so precious and sweet? He's my little bread boy.
What does that mean?
Because he was baking bread and distributing bread when he came out of the military.
The food truck.
He was just this little humble.
Yeah, the food truck.
Before he got back into his idol look, and he had like the hair like grown out, and he was wearing like ugly clothes, and now he's like a slick idol again. And then I wanted to take some time to, since there weren't enough songs in the album for me to be like, this is my definitive favorite and reject the other ones, because there's really only 6 tracks. What I did instead was I ranked them in order of my favorites. So the other tracks in order of my favorites is Yo Wooby, On the Way, Love Phobia, Sunshine, and In the Whale. So those are my rankings.
Yo Wooby
is so... In
like
the whale.
Animal? In the whale.
Huh. Yeah. Like in the whale. And since all of this just came out, I don't have any genius, like genius.com analysis or translations to share, but.
Well, the dice like really makes sense. It's kind of like risk it. Like, don't be afraid to risk it for love.
Yeah. It was pretty like. Heavy handed in the metaphor.
It's like so very heavy handed, done in a very light way.
Yes. But if dice didn't exist and didn't have the music video that it had, Yo Wooby would be my favorite. Favorite. It's so good. I can't even tell you what kind of genre it is, but like haunting. The bridge is magical. I highly recommend that.
Okay. Next.
And that's it. That's awesome. My review on Onu's dice.
I think about Onu and I just like remember that he's the best, most unique vocalist in the K-pop world still in the year of our Lord 2022. And, you know, again, like he's like reinventing himself, but in the same way, like the only reason why Onu is stereotyped as a OST ballad king is because one, he is, but two, in terms of like traditional K-pop, like what you look in a K-pop group, like he's in the same K-pop group with huge dancers, huge vocalists, like stage presence, visuals, like all of SHINee are aces, right? So the only reason why we don't stereotype Onu as a pop star is because he tends to be hidden a little bit when it comes to like full group activities. But what we don't remember is that like Onu could also do it all. And I think that, he did, right? He's literally like twirling around as if like this is like the easiest dance move in like the history of like all of K-pop, right?
Nathan sent me just that part where Onew twirls during the dance break of the song. And he's like, I've watched this part over and over, and it's literally 1 second long. Like the fastest twirl in like existence. And he's obsessed with this, like,
it's because like you don't necessarily see Onew as a dancer, but if you put him in any other K-pop group, he's like a center dancer.
That's true. I was surprised to see a dance break in the music video. I mean, I knew it was like a
you wouldn't expect.
Yeah, it. Like I knew it. This music is a danceable song, but for some reason, when the dance track came on, I was like, "Oh, okay." Or like the dance portion you could do came it. On.
You're right, though, Nathan. I do.
You
I
just forget that Shiny I'm, sets a very high standard.
Yeah, it's not that I'm comparing them. It's that when you're, they're all good.
Exactly.
There's no weak link.
Yeah, and he tends to take up a lot of the spotlight.
He does take up a lot of visual space.
This is what I didn't know that if you all had watched it yet, but I knew Casey had watched it. So I sent her my thoughts, and it could be summarized in this one text that I sent her, and then we can kind of close out in case, unless anyone else has any other thoughts. Sweet Dubu dancing vocal pop star Bob King, leader of my life. That like summarized my thoughts about the
video. That's a very concise summarization. I appreciate it, Nathan.
Right. Anyone else have any final thoughts on any releases or anything that they've been passionately wanting to share?
Tomorrow, April 12th, Dreamcatcher comeback. Please stand. By the time this comes out, it will have already come out, but they're doing an apocalyptic concept, which I'm just like, please, it is spring bop season.
Oh no, Casey.
But like I said before, when I talked about Dreamcatcher, they can do what they want, and I shouldn't stress about them winning awards because they're happy.
Mm-hmm. I'll also chime in by saying happy 10th anniversary to my gateway into K-pop EXO. I was very happy for them.
Yeah.
It's always really special with EXO for me.
That's a big one.
10 years. It's kind of that's a long time. It is.
My last plea to Nathan and the listeners are to please watch 39.
Oh, yes. I hear your cries, and you have made a very convincing argument to me, as I mentioned to you already.
You're literally the only one who isn't watching it now, Nathan. So I know. Peer pressure.
Seriously. It's so good. And when you said, Casey, when you reminded me of what I said before about how I listen to music to be happy, I think in this season of my life, I've been listening to like a lot of, honestly, ballads and K-R&B, which is not new. And then I'm also like really into 39, which is the saddest drama I have seen in years. And so I don't know what's going on now that I think about it. Like,
maybe you have switched souls.
Yeah. Maybe now that I'm a mother, like I just need slow, like emotional things.
Oh my God. I was telling Ashley I was not going to watch 39 because I don't want to feel sad. I want to be happy and light. And she was like, 39 made me appreciate my life. I was like, okay. It was like a very like small but intense like.
That's a very intense message.
Who are you?
Yeah, Ashley's not usually in her feels like that.
Yeah, where the fuck is my shallow?
I know. I cherish small moments now because the moments are like very fleeting and we're never gonna get it back. And that was the message of 39, like cherish moments with your loved ones. Honestly, I think it's because Teddy is like 6 months old and he's growing up too fast, And it's just like, time is getting away from me. Like, where did 6 months go? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyway, please watch 30.
Motherhood has made you sentimental. I never thought I'd see the day.
That's a little scary.
I know.
I'm scared now. I only watched the first episode on the plane. And
wait, and okay. You're all so fucked up now. I'm actually looking at the writers, some of the work that the writers did. And I've actually watched two movies from this person. Oh my gosh, this person wrote the Dio movie, Hyung.
Oh.
Which makes sense because that was a very heavy movie.
It's a very heavy movie.
And they also, yeah, and then they also wrote Miracle in Cell Number 7, which was a very heavy movie also.
Oh, shit.
So they have a history.
This shit is deep, I'm telling you.
They went through something real that they needed to get down on paper.
Oh, no. Okay,
All right, we'll hang in there.
Okay.
We're lighting a candle today for we're lighting a candle for the people that are watching 39 and also our fellow VIPs. And that's the...
Yes.
That's that.
We started sad and we're ending sad.
Usually I'm the one that brings the mood down. That's my job.
This is a new era for Idol
Talk. It's my job now.
Casey doesn't give a fuck. Ashley is sad.
All right, y'all. Thank you all for tuning into this episode. And we'll be back next time with a concert recap. So stay tuned for that. And we'll talk to y'all later. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.